Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Good morning, beautiful people of God. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona on Hot 1027, and it is so good to be with you again this morning. I hope that you had a wonderful week. I had a great week with family and friends. And today I'm going to start a little differently because I want to look at prayer. So I thought I'd start with a prayer by Joyce Rupp from her book called Prayer. And I'm going to be looking more deeply at different cycles of prayer, different ways of praying, particularly at how Jesus prayed, and then what that might mean for you and I. Now, if you, like me, love walking on the beach or sitting on the beach and watching the waves, then this prayer is especially for you, and I think that's why I chose it. She writes so many beautiful prayers, but this one spoke deeply to me. The rolling rhythm of the boundless sea washes over small grey stones tossed upon the sandy beach. Wave after successive wave draws the surrendered stones back and forth, until they lift their voices in pebbled harmony. Then the music of the stones settles into momentary silence, rests in the cradle of the sea's cadence, enraptured in the pause before the great water turns, moves them outward, drawing them beyond the comforting beach, towards the vague darkness of the deep sea's mystery. In such a way, the beloved gathers the grey pebbles of my prayer, stirs the endless rhythm of grace, until my heart too circles and tumbles with a cadence of love. Like grey stones on the beach, my soul dances in the movement, rests in the silence, then takes the emptying journey into darkness, there to remain in trust, waiting to be drawn towards the welcoming shores of consolation. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? Now, when I read that prayer, it reminds me so much of life, but also of our prayer life. There is an ebb and flow. There are moments of great intensity and moments of quiet rest where we are prepared to just sit with God and we are deeply aware of God's presence. As I've journeyed with God and with meditation over many years, I've become very aware of those moments of contemplative rest. So I've been on a journey with God with this meditation for a very, very long time. And there are moments in that meditation where we just stop, where we just pause, where we feel that deep connection with God. And I think that's what this prayer is about, that there are moments of great intensity and then moments where we can pause. Joyce Rupp describes it as the marvelous gift of slipping easily into the awareness of God's presence. She says that these rests usually don't last very long. Most of our prayer is similar to the ocean's high and low tides, regularly slipping in and out, emptying and filling as they move back and forth from the shore. Isn't this a bit like any human relationship we have? There's an ebb and flow, moments of intensity, followed by moments, hopefully, of peaceful companionship. When I look at Jesus, he too had moments of intense prayer, such as in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus' prayer there was a lonely but intense prayer after the Last Supper in a garden that's across the Kidron Valley, actually, on the Mount of Olives, which is a ridge paralleling the eastern part of Jerusalem. This time of prayer, the prayer that Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, is recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew chapter 26, Mark 14, Luke 22, and John 18. In the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus is in great distress and cries out to God to remove the cup from him, all the while surrendering to God's will. According to Luke, his despair was so profound that his sweat became like great drops of blood, and an angel was sent to comfort him. The three disciples who were with him, Peter, James, and John, all fell asleep, despite his repeated cries that they should keep watch with him. So this prayer of Jesus is a profound, deeply moving, powerful prayer. If we look at Jesus at the cross, we have another profound and intense prayer. Jesus says, first of all, God forgive them, for they know not what they do. But then he also says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Contrast that with Jesus' teaching his disciples to pray, or withdrawing, climbing hills to pray quietly by himself. So Jesus, too, had these moments of intense prayer with God, intense emotional prayer, but also moments of quiet time sitting with God. We're going to look at all of this in a moment, but first on the Mighty Hot 1027, Lord, I lift your name on high.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
Lord, I lift your name on high in the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning, this is Reverend Shona from St. Mark's Anglican Church, and it's so good to be with you. If you've just joined me, welcome. This morning I'm looking at prayer. I started with a prayer that Joyce Rupp wrote about the ebb and flow of prayer, and I've suggested that as in all relationships, there is an ebb and flow in our prayer life with God. Sometimes moments of great intensity and emotion and closeness, sometimes moments of intense pain and loneliness, but also moments of comfortable conversation or even silence, sitting together, keeping each other company. I've looked at Jesus' intense prayer on the cross and in the Garden of Gethsemane. Let's look now at the prayer he taught his disciples to pray, the one we call the Lord's Prayer. And there are two forms of it in the New Testament, the shorter version in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and the longer version as part of the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 6. So reading from Luke first, Jesus says, "When you pray, you must pray like this. Say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to a time of trial." And then he goes on to tell the story of how we need to be persistent in prayer, to keep on asking, keep on searching, and keep on knocking. For those who ask will receive, those who seek will find, and those who knock will have the door opened for them. And he says that in the same way, our children, if they ask for a fish, we would never give them a snake. And if they ask for an egg, we wouldn't give them a scorpion. And if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And I want to look at this prayer now in combination with the same prayer, well, with slight differences from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus says, "When you pray, don't be like the Gentiles, heaping up empty phrases, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't be like them. God already knows what you need. Instead, pray in this way." And this is this version from Matthew's Gospel of the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't bring us into a time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive," Jesus says, "others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven." And he goes on to talk about fasting in private, not in public, for all to see, and that we shouldn't store up for ourselves treasures in earth where moths rust, and I'm going to add mice, because I've just had a mouse in the house, might eat them or destroy them. But he says, store up treasures in heaven. He also speaks about how the eye needs to be healthy so the whole body can be healthy, and how we cannot serve two masters. We can't serve God and wealth. And for me, he's talking about the fact that God needs to be number one in our lives. God needs to be the thing we value the most. The relationship with God is the most valuable thing in our lives. And I always remember that rich young man that went away sad because Jesus said to him, "Sell everything you have and come back." But because he valued his wealth above his relationship with Jesus, he wouldn't do that. Jesus is not saying that wealth is bad. He says that God needs to come first. So coming up now on the Mighty Hot 1027, the Lord's my shepherd.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.
The Lord's my shepherd on the Mighty Hot 1027. Good morning. You're listening to Sunrise with Shona. And if you've just joined me, welcome. I'm looking at prayer today, and I've been looking at the two versions of the Lord's Prayer in the Synoptic Gospels of Luke and Matthew. So what is Jesus actually saying? Firstly, for me, Jesus is saying we need to acknowledge who it is that we're directing this prayer to. Abba, Lord, Father. And then we need to be aware of the power of God's name and the need for us to pray with reverence, not carelessly. Hallowed be your name. In both gospel accounts, we pray for God's kingdom to come. And I always say to people, I believe the kingdom has come in part with Jesus, but it will only come fully when we are fully living as Jesus asked us to do and Jesus comes again. That is why when I'm asked, why do bad things happen to good people? Part of my answer, and obviously this is a very difficult question, but part of my answer is that God's kingdom has not fully come on earth. And so things do go wrong. And that is why Jesus commands us to pray. We pray that God's kingdom will come. We then ask for our needs, our daily bread. Please note, not a croissant, not a cake, but we need to ask God to provide for our basic needs. And then we need to live out forgiveness. Jesus is very clear. We have to forgive or God will not forgive us. There's no compromise in this. So why do we have to forgive? Forgive others as God forgives us. And if we don't, we won't be forgiven. Why is it such a huge thing? For me, it's because God loves us so much and wants us to experience abundant life filled with joy, hope, grace, and love. And when we don't forgive, we become bitter and vengeful and punitive, and it cripples us and destroys community. Therefore, for our own sake, we need to forgive everyone, everything. And then Jesus says we need to pray for God's protection from the evil one. And I cannot stress this enough. We're living in a world where God's kingdom has not fully come. Therefore, we need God's protection, especially if we are standing up for God. We become a target. In fact, we know that Satan is like a hungry lion, prowling around, waiting to consume us. And so we need that protection. I pray for protection each and every day, in the morning and the evening, over myself, my loved ones, my home, my car, my pets, the church, and each and every day. I say this prayer without fail, and I truly believe that we call to ask for that protection. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus then tells us to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. In other words, be persistent in prayer, persevere in prayer. And I also believe in soaking prayer. A few years ago, I was reading the books of Francis McNutt, who had that healing ministry, and he spoke about how some people needed soaking prayers and others were healed instantly. I love the image of soaking ourselves, soaking people, soaking circumstances in prayer, and how we need to ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then in Matthew's Gospel, he adds that God does not want us to value wealth above God, that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve God and wealth. We need to value God above all. And I'm adding, if we do, prayer would be at the center of our lives. It would be as natural as breathing. It would be as natural as living for us. And it is exciting because we know that we are meeting with someone that we love, someone who loves us, and that someone we call God. Lastly today, I want to look at what Joyce Rupp calls praying the Eucharist, the Holy Communion, some might call it. So many people have said to me they don't understand repetitive prayers. Why do we pray the same things over and over again? Why can't we just speak freely to God, moving in the power of God, moving in the Spirit of God? And I think it's both and. We need that freedom. We need to pray in the Spirit. We need to pray freely with God. But the prayers of the Eucharist are extremely deep and moving when we actually take note of what we're saying. The liturgy and the prayers offer endless possibilities for us to commune with God. And some days we may not feel anything, and it doesn't mean that nothing is happening. We may say the prayers on automatic, but they still carry power. What we actually need to try and do, though, when we find ourselves doing that, is bring ourselves back to the moment, be fully present and be aware of what we're praying. Think about the words, and almost always we will move into a deeper place with God. Joyce Rupp says that apart from the act of receiving the body of Christ, there are numerous other opportunities within our liturgy to move into the personal prayer with God. If, and I stress if, we are open and vigilant, a thought from a homily, perhaps a line from a hymn or a chorus, perhaps a scriptural text, it might even just be a word or a phrase, or something from the Eucharistic prayer can draw us into a deepening sense of how God is moving within and among us. For example, and we've just been discussing it, the Lord's Prayer. Pray it consciously and pray from your heart. Today, if you like me are going on from here to church, let's do so mindfully and fully present to the mystery of the moment, the love of God, the power of God's word, the power of God in worship and our prayers. I'm going to end as I began with a prayer from Joyce Rupp called Nurturing Presence. And she writes, I turn the ears of my heart in full attention to your voice, God. I lean to catch the whispers of your abiding love. May I be ever and always open to the countless places and times you call me into relationship with you. Amen. I know that God is calling all of us. Let us keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, and move much more deeply in prayer with God. May God bless you. I hope you have a great week. Thank you so much for listening. To wrap up this morning, we have 10,000 Reasons and Let Your Living Water Flow Over My Soul. If you need to get hold of me, you can do so on shona@hot1027.co.za. God bless.
Sunrise with Shona, Hot 1027.